Hi everyone, thanks for coming along to the session. As you should be able to see, this session is speechifying your Windows 8 applications. A little bit about me. So I'm the regional technical evangelist for a company called Infogistics. They're a UI component vendor, so they make UI controls for .NET platforms, HTML5, iPhones, everything. I'm a Microsoft Windows Azure MVP, and just for fun, I love throwing stuff up onto GitHub. So whenever I put together nice little demos or samples, I put them up onto GitHub. And all of the sample code from today will be up on there if you do want to grab any of it. It's not up there right now. I won't be able to do it until about 2 weeks, but it will eventually be there. So the last slide, I've got links to all of this stuff. So the topics today, we're going to talk about when we should use speech in a phone application and conversely, when not to use speech in an application. Once we've figured out if we should have speech in application or not, then we're going to have a look at the capabilities of speech on the Windows Phone platform. There have been some differences between the Windows Phone 7 and the Windows Phone 8 versions. We'll have a look at speech synthesis, which is text-to-speak. We'll talk about how we can use voice commands to launch applications. Then we'll see how we can use voice commands within applications. And then we'll have a look at a few quick examples of combining all of these techniques into some applications that we could build if we wanted to. So to start off, when should we use speech within an application? So there are some good times when we should be able to use them. So whenever the phone isn't front and center of what they're doing right now, so when they're not looking at the screen, maybe if they're driving along, you can give out speech notifications of when to turn, for example. Maybe when you're relaxing on the train, rather than reading your phone, reading text on your phone, you may want to have your phone read out those news articles to you or read your book to you. So that's an example when you may want to use speech. So it may not be when you're not looking at it, but it may be when you just can't do too much input at the moment. So it could be when you're driving or cooking or you're carrying something, or even when I'm gaming. I'll be playing a game on the Xbox and want to do something on my phone, but I've only got like a few seconds in between respawns, so I'll be able to like quickly grab my phone, tap it, and start giving a speech and input while I'm still killing noobs. And when speaking is easier than typing. So phones, they're fine for typing out little text messages and LOLs, but if you're trying to get into a larger email, then speaking it may be easier. Same thing with tablets. So if you have a Windows 8 tablet, like a Surface, for example, the on-screen keyboard is great for, again, short messages, for doing Twitter updates, but for those longer documents, maybe speech will be a better way of doing input on those smaller devices. Another good time to use it is when it's fewer steps to issue a voice command than to do something manually through your phone through a number of steps. So an example of that would be if you've got a deep hierarchy to navigate. So for example, if you were to look up movie times, you'd have to go launch the application, go on to do it, look at the movies that are now showing, find the movie, go into it, go to the session times, etc. Or you could say, show me the session times for Fast and Furious. Same thing with calling someone. You could either go press the home screen, go back to the home screen, click on the people hub, click on search, start typing in the name of the person, scroll through the results, click the result that you wanted, it would bring them up, try to find the mobile phone number and click call mobile. Alternatively, you could just say call David Barella and it'll do it. So it's a lot quicker than navigating all the way through that hierarchy. Another good one is, let's switch this across. Do it like this. There you go. It's better than one of those overhead things. So we can issue commands for cocktail flow. So we could go cocktail flow, woo woo. It's reversed. But it goes, launches, and it brings up the cocktail woo woo. So we could do it for a whole lot of them. So that, again, is quicker than trying to go into the phone, navigate. Let's have a look at the steps it would have taken to do that. I'd have to go across, find cocktail flow, wait for it to load up, go to all cocktails, start scrolling, or we could start typing in woo-woo. So remember, the times that you're going to be looking up cocktails is going to be when you're drunk. You probably aren't going to be able to type out too well, but your drunken slur should still be able to be understood quicker than trying to type it in. Ooh, I'm still on the screen. Uh, So speech commands can be a shortcut into deep places within your application. Just that there are times when you can use it, there are going to be a lot of times when it's inappropriate to use speech in your application. A good example of that would be when you have repetitive or precise movement within your application. So if you're trying to play Super Mario Brothers going right, 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 jump, right, collect mushroom, right, right, that's going to get really old really, really quickly. Same thing with Angry Birds. Like, a whole part of the charm of Angry Birds is that you've got that tactile sense, being able to grab it and move the bird exactly where you want on the slingshot and let go of it. If you were to change that into voice commands, the ways you could do it, you could say, fire the bird at 20 degrees at 80% power. You could do that, but it'd be a totally different type of game of what Angry Birds is about. Another name when not to use it, in games when people can type in their own text. So, for example, Mad Dog or Noob Owner. If your phone's trying to speak those out, it's not going to work. So anything where they're not proper English names, you may not want to use it if it's free text. If they're product codes and things like that where you have control over them, we can have a look at techniques later on how you can give the phonetical definition of how to actually pronounce this. So it'd be like Noob Owner. Example of when not to do it, conference applications. So I built the TechEd conference application for Windows Phone, and I decided not to put voice commands into it because I figured the most common scenario is going to be you're sitting here in the session trying to figure out what the next session is, and I don't think anyone would appreciate if you start speaking into it, hey, what's the next session, and then it starts speaking out to you. So in a private setting, a quiet setting like this, extremely inappropriate. Yeah, and speaking those, you're trying to find what else is on right now. bank applications, anything where privacy is important, speech probably isn't going to be the best thing. If you're logging into a banking application and you start speaking your PIN out, then everyone else is going to hear that. Same thing if it's reading out your current bank balance. Or same thing could be for private medical applications. If it's a medical application for me, looking at my stuff, then I probably don't want it speaking out because everyone can hear stuff. But that said, although that's for a personal one, it may make sense for a doctor in that scenario because they may be in with a patient and they can't look at it right now. Okay, so if we've decided that we do want to use speech and it is appropriate for our application, then there are just a few guidelines around this. The first one is to make sure that it's easy to be able to give voice commands immediately. If you have to go through four steps or to get to the point where you can issue voice commands within your application, then no one's going to use it. It's going to take longer to get to that point than just doing it yourself manually. So, for example, don't make it you have to go in, launch your application, navigate to another screen, hit menu, hit issue voice command. That's silly. If you're going to have it, make sure it's very visible on the screen, which is my next point. So if you do use it and you've made it easy for them to see, make sure you have a logical and consistent use of it throughout your application. Don't just haphazardly add it on some screens and not on some other screens, because that's just going to confuse the user when they can actually start using voice within your application. Now, there may be plenty of reasons why you've only got voice on some screens and not others. If you do that, just make sure that you're very visible about why it is like that. A great example of this is the Bing search app. So when you hit search, on the text box, it's actually got a little microphone icon on it, which lets the user know, hey, I can click that and issue a voice command right now. Give hints as to what the voice commands are. So it's all well and good having a microphone icon on there so that they know that you can issue voice commands in your cocktail application, but unless they know what they can say, they're just going to be blindly guessing and they're just going to give up after one or two attempts of trying to do this. So have somewhere where the user can see what type of commands they can issue, because what you think is obvious is going to be different to what they think they should be able to say. And when you do have these voice commands, make sure that you have like very simple grammars. A good way could be if you're speaking to a young child, if you're going to issue them a command, then you'd have it with some simple words in a nice order. So don't try to come up with your own grammar to try and make it shortcut. Just like for anyone who's read the book 1984, you know, if you did that, that would be double plus ungood. So don't come up with your own grammar. Okay, so we've had a look at when we should use it or not. If we are going to use it, some tips of how to integrate it into our application. So we'll have a look at what speech is available on the Windows Phone platform. So in Windows Phone 7, they first introduced this. And so they had it as they were just getting their feet wet on this. So they started off that you could invoke just the core phone applications. So we saw in my quick demo that I held down the home button, which put the phone into the state of waiting for a voice command. Now, Windows Phone 7, you could only say things like call Mary, call David, text Mary. You only could do the core phone functionality of that. You were able to compose text messages and have those text messages read out to you, and you were able to launch applications. But it was limited to just being able to say, launch Cocktail Flow, launch TechEd conference application. It was limited to that. It wasn't until Windows Phone 8 that they added in a whole lot more functionality to this. So they added the ability for in-app speech synthesis. So rather than just having your text messages being read out to you, now within your application, you could have your phone speak to you with any arbitrary string. They then added the ability for you to launch applications with parameters, and we saw that with Cocktail Flow. I said Cocktail Flow, then gave it the name of a drink to open up, so that's a parameter. So you knew to open up, you had that extra bit of information, you could navigate somewhere. And the ability to do in-app voice commands. So if you're listening to Audible on your phone, you'd be able to say play, pause, skip, things like that. Now, these speech capabilities are different whether you're online or offline. For most of, all the demos I'm doing today can be done offline. So to do that, you can do text-to-speech, that speech synthesis. We can do program recognition. That program recognition is all that we're doing today. That's going to be for app navigation, which was Cocktail Flow WooWoo. So that was a program recognition. And then in-app commands. We're going to give it a predefined set of grammar for what it can do. So this is why it can happen offline. Because we've given it the grammar of what to expect, it can build up internally the recognizer that it needs because it knows it's only recognizing a limited amount of text as opposed to free text. For free text, that has to be done online. It will actually capture that bit of audio. So this is for when you're doing dictation, for when you're just doing free text. It will take that audio clip, send it up to the cloud, the Bing speech services start processing it, turns it into text, returns the text back to your phone application. And so in your method call, it will just return back that string for you. So we'll start off the first demo looking at speech synthesis. That's the easiest one to do, having our phone speak to us. To do that, extremely simple. For anyone that was in my session this morning, all of my sessions were about showing the smallest lines of code to get all of this stuff working. So all of my demos in the first session were all just four lines of code. The longest one was about six. All of my demos today, they're all going to be about 3 to 4 lines of code also. So to get your phone speaking to you, two steps. The first step is we set in the manifest that we need this capability. That's just telling the Windows Phone Marketplace that our phone needs this capability. So that would just, when you go to install the application, it lists all the things that your phone needs. So things like access to the microphone in this case. So once we've enabled it in our application, then it's just two lines to do it. One line to create an instance of our speech synthesizer, and then a second line to go and actually speak that text. So let's actually go and have a look at that. We're going to go File, New Project, and we'll create a new Windows Phone 8 application. If anyone that was in my demo this morning, I had an 8:15 session. So at 8 a.m. I got here, plugged my laptop in, I went through, hit F5 on each one of my demos. Every single one worked at 8 a.m. Session started at 8:15. 8:20 I did my first demo, Visual Studio blew up. And it looked like I was about to do the same thing then because I tested everything before we started our session. Oscar saw it working live. I didn't close Visual Studio. I left it as is, and it's already playing up at like 10 minutes in. But we'll keep going and see how it goes. Where are we? Phone. Thank you. Okay, we're going to create a new phone application. That's been reset for some reason. Okay, phone. Speech demo. targeting Windows Phone 8 so that we get all the capabilities that we want. Cool. Just resize some of this. Okay, so first step, anyone who's ever been to any of my presentations know the first step I do is I change this to a stack panel because it makes everything so much easier. Drag a button in. There we go. And I don't know when they added this to Visual Studio, but you can now click XAML Elements and actually type in here. Beg your pardon? Yeah, so I don't know when it happened. I don't know if it was Visual Studio 2012 Update 2 or something. It just magically appeared. It was only when I accidentally clicked in there it happened. Okay, so we've got that. We're going to double-click. Cool. Let's just grab my speech snippet. Oh, I forgot to do the first step, add the speech capability. So we're going to Properties, go into the Manifest file, flick across the capabilities. We've got a whole long list of them. Something that's useful now, if you click on one, scroll back up, where's speech recognition? We'll tick it. But if you scroll back up, it provides a description for you and actually has a URL link to MSDN with more information about what each one of those capabilities do. So that's quite useful. So once we've got our speech recognition, hit yes. Just get rid of all of this sample code. Don't need that. Okay, so we'll paste in. Paste that in. Bring in the namespace. Say hello world. Cool. So you saw it before, it's only two lines of code. We hit run. Let the emulator boot up. So we're hard coding this at the moment, but once we've seen that it works, we just refactor it a little bit so we can just pass in any string that we want, so we can just make it speak arbitrary strings.
Hello world.
Yay. My first demo works, I can relax now. Okay, so we're just going to change this around a little bit. We're going to change this, so I'm going to go refactor. Okay, fine. I'm going to right-click, go refactor. I'm going to go rename, speak. I'm going to pass in hello world. It's freaking out. Okay. So, yeah, I had to rebuild Visual Studio during the break, and a whole bunch of stuff hasn't been re-enabled yet. So, with ReSharp, I should just be able to go Alt-Enter. It'll say, do you want to add this as a parameter? Yep, and it'll automatically update it for me. Unfortunately, my laptop's being silly, so we'll change that to text. There we go. So we can pass in any arbitrary text now, and it will say it. I won't bother rerunning that because we know that's okay. Well, we flick back. Yeah, as far as I know, it does add a little bit of emphasis to it. So it's different doing a full stop versus a question mark. Okay, so I showed you the extremely simple way of doing it, which was two lines of code. If you're actually going to do it, you need to do a try-catch on it. The reason for that is once you start the system off speaking, it'll start speaking, but your speech can be interrupted by any number of things. If you get a phone call that's incoming, your system's going to stop speaking and it's going to bring up the phone call and just say, hey, someone's ringing. So your speech has been interrupted. It'll also get interrupted if the user navigates away from your application. So you may be halfway through, hello, what? And then you hit the phone button, navigate it away. Speech gets interrupted. That's all okay until you hit the back button or your phone call is finished and you go back to resuming your application. Once your application is resumed, it'll throw the exception there. So to capture it, we just have to do this, and that's just because you're using COM and things like that. So that's fine. In most cases, you're probably just going to capture that exception and go, you know what, I don't really care that nothing happened, and you can just continue on. But you can pick up that it was interrupted. So you may just want to just have it repeat what it was saying. Or you could just add some sass to your application and you can have your application go, as I was saying, and then it can repeat it. So I won't bother showing the try-catch. Just make sure you do it, because you will fail certification if you don't put in that try-catch. So we saw Hello World, and when it does that, it's just going to speak with a default language. Now, your phone has a number of different language packs installed on, English, French. It all depends which region that you're in. So, for example, when you get your phone, you may not have Chinese installed on, but you can go in and optionally install it. But if you buy a phone in China, of course, it's going to have the Chinese language pack on. So the user can install on additional ones. You just go into settings, scroll down to your languages, and it'll show you all the ones. You tick it, and then the next time your phone is plugged in and it's on Wi-Fi, it'll go download those language packs and update itself. Now, we can actually take advantage of all of that in our code, though. We can just use a little link statement where we can go in all the installed voices, we can put in the language code for the language we want to look for, and then we can speak in that voice. So let's have a look at that. So I used to doing user group demos where you just alt-tab in between the slides and doing code. Sure that all builds. That's fine. Okay, so now instead of speaking, we're going to go and we'll set up the speech synthesizer. We'll do it down there. So it was var voices equals from voice in installed voices dot all. But we saw there was installed voice.default if you want to get back the one that is currently going to be used. So that could be useful to find out which language is going to be spoken, if it's going to be American English or British English. They do have different accents on them, so it may be useful to know that, just so you can do something, I don't know. So from all of them, we can go where voice... Oh, actually, let's not. Let's go select voice. So we're going to do all of them. So we're going to do a for each loop. So for each voice and voices, move this back up there. We're just going to, on that synthesizer, we're going to set voice to the voice. So it's just going to loop through and say hello world in each of the languages.
Hello world.
Hello, Violet. Hello, world.
Hello, world. So that was a British one versus...
Hello, world.
So...
Hello, world.
Yeah, you can tell...
Hello, world.
I've got funny accents.
Hello, Violet.
Yeah, see...
Hello, world.
I'm not going to make fun of people's accents, but the point of it is to point out that it's a little bit different, so to expect that. So to just point that out a little bit more, what we're going to do is we're going to change this method now. So we're going to optionally take in another string where we can set the region that we want to speak it as. So I'm going to default that to en-us. Now, if anyone who hasn't seen this, this is a C-sharp optional parameter. So when you put the equals blah, we're setting a default value for it, which means any of our previous method calls like this will still work because they're just going to default to English. And probably my application, that's what I want, because I just want to speak English all the time. However, we can make it, we can pass in an optional parameter. So, let's bring in a bunch of samples that I've got. So we'll have a look at those once we hit them, just so we know what's going to happen at those points. So as I said, everything's in a stack panel, so I just keep on dragging things on and it continues looking sexy. So this one, we're going to have them count with the numbers 1, 2, 3. This one, we're going to have them count words instead, So I'll show you what I mean by that. Let's just hook these up, count 1, 2, 3, the other button, going to count words. Hit F5. So let's do the first one. So in this, we've just got the digits 1, 2, 3. So when it goes and speaks through each one of these languages, we can hear them, it's going to be regionalized automatically for us. So if we hit F5.
1, 2, 3.
For English.
Eins, zwei, drei.
1, 2, 3.
Ah.
1, 2, 3.
It's ignoring my stuff though.
1, 2, 3.
1, 2.
But you can hear it, we did it in German and everything. But what I forgot to do is actually do anything with this. Where voice dot, so we can go language, equals the region that we passed in. And where voice dot gender equals, so let's just go with male. So I'm doing that because it's going to bring back the male and female voice for that region. So if I did this, it would be repeating everything. So you may want to go in your application to set up a setting so they can set the default if they want male or female. Although that said, they're going to get the system default anyway. So if we do that, we hit F5 again. So we saw that the first one worked, but let's have a look at the second one. So this is just to point out when it's got words. I'm using 1, 2, 3 here as an example just because we know what they're going to sound like. But if we did have words like cat, dog, etc., they're going to say that but in those different accents. So let's hit F5 and we hear 1, 2, 3 in English, French accents, and Japanese accent.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
So we can tell. Like, although they are saying the correct word, because they're English words, they don't sound correct when spoken with a different language's voice. And so just to do it the other way around, we will have counting 1, 2, 3 in French, so un, deux, trois, but we're going to have an English voice say it, then the correct French voice saying it, and then hear it in Japanese. This one's funny.
Un, deux, trois.
Un, deux, trois. Un, deux, trois.
So the English and the Japanese version just didn't say it correct at all, but the French version said it, and that's just because of how they actually pronounce the vowels differently. So if you are going to do any sort of regionalization, it's not just enough to just have the correct text, you've got to make sure that you set the correct language for it to speak in also. We had a look at that. Now, moving on from that, with speech synthesis, you can add additional metadata to the text to help pronunciation. So we can actually put in a little voice clip in there if we want to ourselves, if we know how to pronounce it. I don't recommend that. But you could, if you were going to do that, then it would sound like those phone automation systems where you ring up and it's someone's pre-recorded voice where they say, the time is 3:51 p.m. today, because they're all voice clips that they're trying to splice together. You can do that. I don't recommend it. But you can also, it's rather than just text, you can mark them up with a little bit of extra markup to say what the pitch should be, the rate that they should be speaking with, and as I said, you can also set the pronunciation for them. So if you know phonetically how to do it, you can set that for the mad dogs and the new boners. And a great example of that is if you have the digits 1, 2, 3, is that 1, 2, 3, is that 123, or is it the 123rd? So there are ways we can mark that up. So we'll have a look at that now. Break. Let's drag on another button. So this is called SSML. So it's a speech synthesis markup language. So we're going to double click on this to create a new event handler. Going to scroll down to SSML and we're going to just copy and paste this. Same thing again. I'll hit run and then we'll speak to it. Task. Async. Okay, let's hit breakpoint there. Ooh. XAML. It's actually in here. What have I done here? Oh, button click 3. What's wrong with this? Incorrect signature. Huh? Oh, yeah. Thanks. I messed that up. Boyd, thank you. Cool. Okay, so SSML is just an XML string. So we've just got the raw XML here to show it. So we just shown that it's speak version 1.0, the usual XML namespace stuff. But then this bit, the language. So we're setting the language that this should be spoken in. So then we're going to go through. And so we've got three examples here. So saying it in the cardinal way, so you hear how that's said, the ordinal way, and then if you're interpreting the digits, if you're interpreting them as characters, you want them to speak out each one of the things one at a time. If we hit one.
Cardinal, 123. Ordinal, 123rd. Individual numbers, 1, 2, 3.
So you can use SSML to just give it a hint on how it's going to be speaking this. So here, this is where we can mark it up with a few different things. So this is just the rhyme, Mary had a little lamb. But we've done a little bit with it. So we've got Mary had a little lamb. Mary had a, then we're changing the pitch and the volume. So you should go, Mary had a little lamb. And then it will go on from there. We're changing the rate a little bit faster, a little bit slower.
Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
So I just use a little nursery rhyme that we'd all know just because we know what to expect. But with just a little bit of markup, you can chain around how that plays out. Okay, so speech synthesis is nice and easy. Now we can go on to launching applications. So this was that example we saw with Cocktail Flow, old-fashioned Cocktail Flow, Midori Ball. So an application can take additional parameters when it starts up. Now, as much as I pointed out at the beginning, you wouldn't probably put speech recognition into a conference application. This demo is going to be as if I had have added it to the application. Just so you know that I didn't throw it into the TechEd application because I don't know how to. It's showing I could have done it, but I made sure I didn't put it in there. So just an example of things that we could say. So if I was going to put it in here, here are the ones which I would probably put in there. So TechEd, show sessions. It'll launch up, show me all of the sessions so I can browse through them. The most useful one would be TechEd, show my favourites. So you'll be able to see all the sessions that you were going to go to for this time. TechEd, what's on next? That's probably what you would use right now. So you would know, start planning where you're going. And then you'd be able to optionally say to look up a specific track. TechEd, show me the Windows Phone track. Show me the Windows Azure track. Show me the BizTalk track. I can't even say that one. and so all of this is actually navigating somewhere within your application. So something which a lot of us don't know, I didn't actually know this until I started investigating it. When you do hold down a button and it's waiting for you to issue it a command, you can actually hit this little question mark up the top and it'll show you all the applications you have installed on which support voice recognition. And it'll show you all the examples of things that you can say in there.
I thought that it was a fixed demo. I didn't know it was actually listing what was in the phone.
Yeah, so I think that's because like a lot of us had Windows Phone 7, so we looked at it once and went, oh, okay. But in Windows Phone 8, because we have this in here, this capability now it's there. So you can just say, what can I say? And it will show you. Or you can press that little icon up the top. So to specify this, so again, all of this is just application navigation. It's going to listen for something and then navigate somewhere and then just pass through what was said also. And this is how we set it up in an XML file. So we'll go in and I'll show a demo of us creating one of those. Now, there's some limitations to this. The application has got a maximum of 25 different commands that we can have. So I had 5 listed there, show me sessions, show me my favorites. We had 5 different ones defined. Now, we have phrases where we can take in a parameter. So in the case where I said, show me the Windows Phone track, so that's a phrase right there. So that phrase where I've specified, show me the Windows Phone track, show me the Azure track, we've got a maximum of 2,000 of those that you can define. So in the XML file, when we're adding these in, they're all there statically, and we've predefined what each one should be. We can go and dynamically add these. So once the application started, for example, I may only have the TechEd track and the Azure track hard-coded in there in the XML. Once my application has started up and I started pulling down the feeds, After the application's been launched, maybe Microsoft announces that they were going to have a whole bunch of Xbox One sessions here. So in that case, we have the Xbox One track, so we'll be able to go and update that phrase list and insert it in there. That would also work well with things like a movie application, where you're trying to find, a cinema application, where you're trying to find movie times. The movies are going to be changing week to week, so your application could use a background task, bring down the latest movies that are showing, and update that phrase list. So when you say, show me the Fast and Furious times, show me the Avatar times, it'll be in there, whereas 2 months down the road, it'll be a different set. So let's have a look at that. Mouth is getting a bit dry. Okay, to get started, it's quite easy. You just go right-click, add a new item, and right here is a voice definition command. Voice command definition. We'll just leave it as a default. Hit add. And the good thing is, it gets you bootstrapped. It gets you started with a whole bunch of samples of things that you can say. And even better, if you scroll all the way down to the bottom, in the comments, it actually gives you a whole bunch more information. So it's showing us that anything that is in square brackets are optional, whereas anything which is in curly braces, that's a point where we can take in a variable. So we scroll all the way up, we can have a look at what they've done already. So in this case, we've got play a new game. So we've got two different ones here. We've got we could say play a new game, or we could say start a new game, but they're both going to be the same command. But let's go back up for a second. Now in here, we've got some additional things here. So although your application may be called something, for example, my TechEd application was called TechEd Australia 2013. That's going to be a mouthful to say every time. TechEd Australia 2013, show me all sessions. So instead, you can prefix it with a different command, which should probably be TechEd. And so now it's been shortened to TechEd, show me all sessions. Now, play a new game, we'll probably change that to show me sessions. So that's just going to be the main example when they hold down the button, it's showing you one example from each application. That's going to be the one that's there. But then from then on, we're defining each one of the commands. So we would have command name show sessions. Example would be the same thing. An option in here would say show. I'd have me as an optional thing, show sessions. So show sessions or show me sessions. So that's going to be an option there. So that one would be easy. Feedback, so once it's detected that that's a command that we've been being issued, this is when we say something. So we would say showing all sessions. And at that point, our TechEd application will launch and then pass that command in.
That's a voice feedback
tool,
isn't it?
No. We'll find out in the demo, we'll have a look. Good question. I don't know, because I keep doing it. I haven't paid attention. I just see that my code works, and I go, yes, and then I keep going. If we go down to here, though, so this is an optional parameter. So we're going play level, so we can say replay level, and then here it's taking in a phrase. So it'll be level 1, level 2, level 3. So in our application, that would be the command, we show me the Windows phone track. So it would be show me the session name, show me the something track. So we'll do it like that. And so down the bottom, we'll change this phrase list to session name. Delete this. And so here we'll give some samples just to start it off with. Windows 8, Windows Phone, Windows Azure. That's fine, because I'm going to copy-paste the entire thing. Thank you. Copy, select all, paste. I don't trust code that I write during the demo. So we can, since it also means I've written all of them out now. So we've got what's on next. So we could say what's on next. We could also say show me the sessions we could have there. Oops. Show all sessions. Show my favorites. You could say show me my favorites. And then down here the track. So Windows 8, Windows Phone, Windows Azure. So we've defined our set of commands now that a phone can take. All we have to do is tell the phone to actually install them into the system. So you'll do this at application startup. Go to app.xaml.cs. So this is something important to know. So these commands only get installed into your system when your phone installs them into the system. So that could be because you're going to change up your grammars and things like that. But it means the user has gone and installed it on. So I've got a fresh phone. I've installed Cocktail Flow on. If I try to say Cocktail Flow old-fashioned, it's not going to be able to do that because it hasn't installed them on yet. So the user has to run the application once to call your code to install them on. So when your application launches, it will go on the on Navigator 2, and then we can pull things out. In fact, the demo will show you that.
Cool.
So we'll scroll down. This is the one line that we need to install it in. So we'll scroll down to... Nope, none of my shortcuts work. Okay. Go down to here, application launching. So all that we're going is... Oops, private async. Voice command service, we're going to install a set of commands from here because we've defined them locally. So that's it to get it started. Now, let's just add a text box here. So if anyone who's new to this stuff, text box is what you can type into. A text block is a label. So we actually want the label. Crank up the font size to 48, 36. Yeah, that's fine. So let's go into our code behind for this page. Scroll all the way back up, and we're going to sample code annoys me. We're going to type override. We're going to find on navigated to. So once we've been navigated to, we can look at the things that were passed into us. So we were navigated to our application because something was launched. So we can go navigation context, and then it's going to pass in a bunch of query strings. And so because in our command we had our phrase list listed as that, if it had one, then it's going to be passed in. So then we can pull it out. So I'm just setting that text box. Text block. Let's just actually give it a name. Hit build. Cool. My microphone on my laptop doesn't work, and I forgot to plug this in. Where is it? Apologies for not plugging it in earlier. This is just my Skype headset, so I'm going to use it because I know that it works. Get a few seconds, make sure everything's plugged in. Cool. So let's go out. So first of all, if we hold this down, oh, that's chuggy. So we hit on this, we're going to go across to applications, so we've got it here. So we've got that main example there of what's on next. If we go into it, we discussed examples of Tech Ed, what's on next, Tech Ed show sessions. So it's good for anyone who's got a Windows phone now, brings it up and you can find out that a whole bunch of applications actually have it there and you never knew, which goes back to the very first slide where I said if you are going to have speech in there, make it make sure you tell the user that it isn't there, because there's no way for them to just discover this on their own. In fact, yeah, I didn't even know that Cocktailflow had it until I did that. I went, oh, I had no idea that it could do that. So let's just check this out. We'll go Tech Ed, show Windows phone track.
Tech Ed, Windows phone track.
Sorry, couldn't hear it.
Tech Ed, Windows, maybe it's muted. It's muted.
Sorry, couldn't hear.
Tech Ed, Windows phone track.
Showing Windows phone track.
Yay! And there you go, it was able to speak it out. So that's interesting, actually. And so we see it says Windows phone there. So we're able to extract it out, so we do that. So you, in that query string, you probably, if you've got a number of pivots in there, you probably just see if take that query string and then just go pivot, change the active pivot tab to the one that you want. So that'll be one line of code. Okay, so it's that easy to put voice commands into this. So you've seen how I've done it. We've got to the stage where we know which command's been issued to us, and then we can do something there. So I'm not going to bother doing anything else because that's going to be specific to your application. But we've all got the same commonality here of just trying to get to this point. Okay, so with in-app recognition, so our application has been launched. We're inside of our application now. So there are two different types of text recognition, voice recognition that we can do inside of our application. So the first one is going to be that text input, which if you remember right at the beginning, that was the one we had to be online because this is dictation. It's going to take your voice snippet, it's going to go off, process it, and send it back to you. If you do that, then it's got an enum where you can set if the free text is going to be dictation or if it's going to be a web search. So for the Bing app, it's going to be passing the text as a web search, so your speech has, and if you're reading out a letter, it's going to be dictation. I don't actually know what the difference is. I tried looking it up. All they would tell me is that there's an enum and you can set it based on what you're going to do, and it does speech recognition differently apparently, but I couldn't find out what those differences actually were. But it's just something to be aware of. I'm fairly sure if you're going to put it into your application for free text, it's going to be dictation anyway. Now, so that was all online, but just like how our application commands, we could predefine them and they just happen offline. Same thing within our application. We can set a bunch of commands that we can issue inside the application, and it's fine because it can pre-process them. Now, the language to define this in is SRGS, not too sure what it stands for. It's a W3C specification, so you can, if you find samples online, they'll work in here. And it also means anything that you write is going to be usable in within, other platforms that do speech recognition also. Now, the easiest way to get started with this is a class called Speech Recognizer UI. So you can just use that, use it as is, and it's going to handle everything for you. And if you're getting started, just use that. You can go and customize it though. So on the Speech Recognizer UI class, there's a settings property where you can go and modify things. So for example, we can say a command, which will say play or skip. And each time we say it, it's going to respond back saying, heard you say play, heard you say skip. And that's, if you're doing it with music, that's probably going to be annoying. So you can, an example of modifying this would be to disable that, had you heard you say skip. So you can modify that also. And you can build your own UI from scratch if you want to. So rather than popping up that default Windows UI that comes down when you can see the little equalizer bars moving up and down, if you don't want that, you can do it all within your application as well. So maybe there's a giant microphone icon, you can hold it down, and while you're doing that, you can do your own animations of the microphone with like voice lines like squiggling into it. You could do that if you want to. But the easiest way to get started, just use the Speech Recognizer UI, and everything's going to be in the same theme and look and feel of the Windows Phone platform. Some limitations of it, though. There's no support for continuous speech recognition. So you can't just leave it going and then just keep saying play, pause, etc., which limits its use in some scenarios. So there's an example of a cooking application where it's reading out the steps, so combine the eggs and the flour together. Because your hands are messy, in a perfect world, you'd be able to speak out next step, next step. But because of what they put into this, for each voice command, you've got to go and invoke it somehow, either by clicking a button on the screen, usually by clicking a button on the screen. It also means while you're driving, you're still going to have to press something just to start off the recognition and take it from there. Another thing, complex grammars can take a while to load. So complex grammars doesn't mean that you've defined many different things that you can say, like play, skip, pause. It's when you've chained them together. So a command could be, book me a flight from Melbourne to Sydney. So in that case, it's a grammar. We've got two phrases in there, Melbourne to Sydney. But a more complex one could be where you're going to say, call phone number, and then issue a number of digits. So in the SSRG language file, you can actually set up those sort of steps where you can say it's going to be listening for 5 of these things, like 1 to 10 of these things. So in that case, it's going to go through and do, your grammar's now got 10 by 10 possibilities that could do in there. So when it loads up your grammar, it's going to go through all the possible permutations that you could have in there. So if you don't write your grammar correctly, and you've got a lot of like places where they could do recursion, then it can quickly spiral out of control. But an easy way to see what it's going to be doing is there's this little utility called phrase generator. So you just run your SRGS file through that, and it'll spit them all out. So if you're at 50, 100, that's fine. Up to 1,000, it takes about a second per megabyte of them. So most of the time, you're going to be fine. So the only time you hit issues is if you just have a complex grammar, you've accidentally make it do like a number of phrases, and those phrases could be a whole bunch of stuff. So let's have a look at doing in-app commands. So for this, we're going to copy. We're going to book flights, but we're going to make it really simple. We're just going to say, we're just going to give it the name of the destination that we want to fly to. So our phone application is going to say, okay, give us the name of where you want to fly to, and our command is going to be that city that we want to fly to. But this is exactly how you do the same thing of saying play, pause, etc. It probably just wouldn't prompt you for what music feature do you want to invoke. It won't say that, and your answer will be play, skip, pause. It probably you may just forego any of the UI. But let's do this. We're going to drag on another button, and again, looks sexy because of my stack panel. And we're going to say fly to destination. Double click. We're going to paste that in there. Cool. So this is my longest demo, longest lines of code. So, of course, we just set up that speech recognizer UI, but from then on, we're just setting things up. So our recognizer, we're going to go and add grammar. So we could use that SRGS markup if we wanted to go and set up those complex sort of things that it's looking for. But if we're just doing something like play, pause, skip, or in this case, the number of cities that we want, we can just put them in there and everything's going to be fine. So you can just forget everything I said about complex grammars, because if you just want a single command, you're okay. So once we've set up what it can recognize, then we're going to set it up. So when we do prompt it, it's going to bring up a little UI telling the user what it should be doing. So in that case, we're telling the user, well, where do you want to fly to? And so then, of course, we should always be giving the user examples of what they can say at this point. So in this case, we just put in some sample ones, Melbourne, Sydney. So all of that bit was just setting it up and just customizing the UI a little bit. So from then on, we're just going to bring it up. So we're just going to await it. So we're just going to say, hey, we're going to expect something from the user. So we're just going to wait here until we've got a result back. Once we've got the result, if it succeeded, so if the user said something that we can recognize, then that's all good. If they didn't, then maybe they said something completely wrong. In this case, we care about the happy path, which is they said something, so we're just going to display the city. Oh, yeah. No? That should be fine, because all our other ones were working. Let's just check the manifest file, make sure I've got everything ticked. Speech recognition. Oh, microphone. I think I was missing that one.
Melbourne.
Heard you say Melbourne.
Because if you're in the Gold Coast, like, the only other city you'd ever want to fly to is Melbourne. So that's... I hope there's no one here from Sydney. But as we can see, it's that simple. You've got a line to just set up the grammars to expect, another few lines to just say, hey, okay, we're going to wait here until it happens. So this is where we'd have that microphone icon. If we were going to, we'd have a big microphone icon. They can hold it down so they can go play, skip, pause, etc.
No.
Unfortunately. So the question was, like, if they hold this down now, that's still going to invoke the system one. So we have to have some way for the user to invoke it. Now, there's a way that we can chain a few of these up. Oh, actually, in my samples, I go through different ways we can do this. Okay, so we've gone through and we've looked at text-to-speech, we've had a look at issuing voice commands, we've had a look at when you're inside of the application, issuing commands within that. So I thought I'd go through and show a number of different examples of how we could put them all together. So an example would be a car GPS navigation. So you may go and invoke the application by taking a phone, holding it down and just saying, GPS, drive to... 1, 2, 3, 4, you'd say GPS drive to location, because at that point you'd just want to invoke the application. And so once the application has been loaded up, we could launch the application, and then because we said drive to location, it knows what we're trying to do at this point. So what the user's trying to do is navigate somewhere. So we can go through and prompt for the next input. So we could automatically bring up that next speech recognition thing, which is we could put in some free tech, which would be... what's the address here? Yeah, so the next bit the user would say 2684 Gold Coast Highway, Queensland. And so at that point, it'd go, because it's free text, we go and send it up to the cloud, go through, process it, it'll come back down to us and we've got that text. We can go do that GPS, and so then from then on we can start going. So we've got app commands, we've got in-app commands, and now we're going to use text-to-speech. So if we can go through and it'll say turn left in 100 metres, turn right in 100 metres. Wrong computer. Okay, another good example could be an RSS reader. So we could go through and say, read me today's articles. So this could be work well if you're in your car driving. You could say, read me today's articles, and we'll go launch the application, and straight away we could navigate through to today's posts. So after that, we could start reading out the articles automatically. So in this case, we'll just say Microsoft Today announced Windows 8.1, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so we've launched the application, we've used text-to-speech. So while that's going, the user could go next article. So again, they're driving in the car, they want to go and do something. So next article and start reading the next one. So then we're in there, read ZNet, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So just a few examples of how I could throw all of it together. So, right on time. So, to wrap it up, we had a look at when to use speech, when not to. So, again, maybe when they're not using their hands. If we're in a quiet room, don't use it then. Differences between Windows Phone 7, Windows Phone 8, bunch of different techniques, and then one or two little examples. Because after that, they all kind of start getting the same once you get past two examples. I'll eventually put all of the sample code up onto GitHub. So, GitHub/DavidBarella. Or you can go to my About Me page where I've got links to everything on there, my blogs, my Twitters, don't look at my Twitters, my blogs, my GitHub, it's all on there. So that's the easiest way to do it. So thank you for coming along.
Can you do speech and posting?
Beg your pardon?
Push notification and do speech? No?
No, not that I know of. So the question was, can you do a push notification to make it speak? I don't think so. I haven't heard of it. I need live tiles and toast notifications. That's all of them do.
If your app's open, then
you can do a raw.
Push into the app, and then you could have your app speak it as it receives it.
Mm.
The app has to be open.
I can
hang
on, please.
Yeah. And that talk was much smoother, calmer, nicer. It all worked.